Isn't the first time I've preached on Psalm 91, but I'd like you to turn to Psalm 91. I was just thinking of a lot of the difficulties that are going around, and so I'd like to focus on Psalm 91. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, preach primarily on verses 1 and 2 this evening. If you'd get to Psalm 91 and follow along as I read, it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Now, a buckler was a little shield that go right in the arm for sword fighting. You had a big shield that you could stand behind. The buckler was the ones that were on, was on your arm. So it says that He shall be our shield and our buckler. We're going to be looking at three things this evening. We're going to be defining for you what the shadow of the Almighty is. I want you to think about that a little bit. And who is in the shadow of the Almighty? And what are the benefits of living under the shadow of the Almighty? Number one, what is the shadow of the Almighty? The word shadow is a very interesting word in the Hebrew. It occurs at least 49 times in our Old Testament, and if we were to pronounce the Hebrew word, it would be sale, like you're going to a sale at a store. The best illustration that I can give you for the word shadow, after I define it, is an illustration of protection, because what the word shadow means is shade and defense. You could say that a synonym for the word shadow there would be a defense. Shadow illustrated in the Scripture, if you would, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 6. Isaiah chapter 4 and down in verse 6. It says, "There shall be a tabernacle." Now, a lot of us today don't understand what a tabernacle is. A tabernacle is simply a tent. Okay? "There shall be a tabernacle or a tent for a shadow in the daytime from the heat." When we were on our trip to the Holy Land, while there's a lot of Bedouins who now have buildings that they live in, and they usually live in pretty desolate places. They wander from place to place normally, though a lot of them are settling in a particular area. There still are some Bedouin tents. And what they do is, under the heat of the sun, they go into the Bedouin tent to receive protection from the sun. They are in the shadow of the tent. So there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert, a hiding place, from storm and from rain. It's real easy to see in this illustration that comes from Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 6 that the shadow of the tent means protection from the elements. So, going to give you another illustration in just a moment. So when we're talking about living under the shadow of the Almighty, we're talking about protection that God affords us, the defense that God affords us. Not so pleasing of an illustration, but nonetheless, the word occurs there is in Genesis chapter 19 and verse 8. And I just fear for our nation. Should have prayed about it this evening, but I was praying about it earlier this week. But tomorrow morning in California, the abomination of same-sex marriage goes through. Unless there's a stay, there's been ask for a stay has been filed by Liberty Counsel and Matt Staver, but so far no stay, and there's people lining up to have the abomination of a marriage ceremony, but we're talking about Genesis chapter 19 and verse 8, and you'll know in the context that tells about two angels coming to warn Lot to get out of Sodom because the city was filled full of Sodomites, and God was going to destroy the city. And what I just said in Canada, a preacher who has said the same thing, and he's on trial for what I just said. And you know what a great tragedy it is when people are putting darkness for light these days and trying to criticize people who stand for righteousness. But anyway, the two angels were coming to warn Lot to get himself and his family out of Sodom because he was going to destroy that in the city in the plain. And the word travels fast that there are new men coming into town, and the perverted male population surrounds Lot's house and calls him to send these men. They don't realize that they're angels, but he calls them to send these men out so that they can molest them. And Lot gives a response. It says, here's what Lot's response was. It says, "Behold, now I have two daughters, which have not known men." I can't even imagine the hideous offer. I had two daughters too, and Lot didn't have the blessing of a shotgun, but I do have one, and they'd have tried to something. But anyway, it says, "Let me, I pray you, bring them out to you, that ye do them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing." It says, "For therefore they came under the shadow of my roof." He says, I'm bound to protect these men who've come under the shadow of my roof. So in this tragic verse, in this offer that I don't understand, and if we get to ask the Lord questions, I'd like to ask that question of why the offer. But anyway, we do know that Lot took protection seriously. They came in, and so again here, the shadow illustrates protection. My whole point in describing all this to you is that the shadow of the Almighty obviously refers to the protection of God. And the best place that you can be. I remember back to the Y2K scare. Any of you remember that? There's all kinds of Christians doing all kinds of nutty things, buying property, and I'm not opposed to having some food ahead and some of those type of things. That's only reasonable. So if electricity does go out for several days, you have food. But some people were selling things and buying massive amounts of food and massive amounts of ammunition and all this kind of stuff. And I remember preaching a message that said, you know, the best protection that you have in a day of trouble like that is living a godly life, because then God's your refuge. Turn with me to Psalm 17, verse 8. Psalm 17, verse 8. I like the idea, and you could do a much more thorough study, but folks, we need to live under the shadow of the Almighty. That's where we need to live. It's Psalm 17, verse 8 says, "Keep me as the apple of the eye." You know what the apple of the eye is? Right there. That's right the center. That's the apple of the eye. You notice how you flinch when something comes at you automatically? Well, you try and protect your eyes. It's your sight. It says, "Lord, keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings." Isn't there a song that we sing, under his wings we safely abide? I think that those are the words of that. But this verse reveals the request for protection. They knew that God was the place for protection. Now, my life's verses come from Psalm 34, and there's a section of Psalms 34, 35, and 36 that are very good Psalms. And 36:7, Psalm 36:7 says, "How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings." The shadow of thy wings. God is the loving protector of those who love Him and trust Him. Flip with me to Psalm 51 and verse 1. David in Psalm 51 is a very interesting psalm. David is coming crying out to the Lord. He says, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me." He says, "For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." A difficult time. God wants to be our protector in the storms of life. I have seen throughout the years of being a pastor and that there's two ways that people respond to calamities in their life. Some people run from God and blame Him. And you know there's no future in that. But I've seen that happen many times. People get angry at God and they blame God for things that they're... running from God is not the answer. The answer is to cling to the Lord, to flee, to get under His wings, to ask for His protection, to ask for His help and ask for His guidance. So they run to God they commit themselves and they're keeping to the Lord. We need to do that. God wants to be our protection in the stormy times of our life. So we just need to trust Him. Then in Psalm 63, verse 7, we're almost done with the psalm portions. In Psalm 63, verse 7, it says, "Because Thou hast been my helper, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings I will rejoice." This is after the fact now. He said that You have helped me through. It's like Paul put it a little differently. "There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to" what? "To bear it." God will be with you. The psalmist is rejoicing in the Lord's protection. But you'll see something here over and over again. The recurring phrase, "shadow of thy wings" or "shadow of His wings." We don't live in an agrarian society anymore. I think that Carla is old enough maybe to remember. My son Steve is old enough. But when we were at our previous church, we raised chickens. We would buy 100 chickens every summer. And believe me, the kids didn't say, "Oh, goody, goody." But anyway, we did raise them for food. But chickens have an interesting thing. When a mother hen hatches a bunch of chicks, what happens is if there is a storm or if there's any kind of trouble, the little chicks run and get under the wings of the mother. I remember the story of a fireman one time telling of going and fighting a barn fire that happened, and he came to this charred clump. He didn't know what it was, and he kicked it with his foot, and it was the mother hen. And when he kicked the mother hen, out came running. The mother hen had been charred, but out from under that charred mother hen, guess what? The chicks came running out. It'll help us to better understand what Jesus is saying in Matthew chapter 23 and in verse 37. I imagine Lord Jesus Christ is just lamenting. He says, "O Jerusalem, how oft I would have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, and ye would not." Our Lord Jesus Christ wants to be our protector. It's plain to see that the shadow of the Almighty is speaking of the protection, the defense, and the comfort of the Lord. Psalm 121, verse 5, puts it this way, "The Lord is thy keeper." The Lord is thy on thy right hand. Now, the word shade there, if you look that up in your Strong's Concordance, is the same word shadow in Psalm 91. It's sail. Again, it's that Hebrew word sail. And so the protection of the Lord. So the next question is, who is in the Lord's shadow? Who can go under His wings for protection? Well, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. That's who. Not everyone. In this verse, the word secret place is the word that means conceal or veiled from one's sight. You might say it's camouflaged. It's not open. It's not seen by everyone. Have you ever been unable to find something that you knew was right there? It bugs me, but that happens to me all too often. And so I'll look and look and look. Sometimes I'll call my wife and say, "Do you know where such and such is?" And she says, "Yes," and she tells me right where it is. And then I still can't find it. And how embarrassing when she then comes from whatever she's doing, and you know what? There it is. It was right there. And how many of you heard the old phrase, "If it had been a snake, it would have bit you," right? Well, that's happened to me. One time, years ago, I called my wife at work because I couldn't find the coffee. Now, my wife could care less about the coffee. My wife doesn't drink the stuff. Though I have found some coffee that she thinks smells pretty good. But she says, "How can it smell so good and taste so rotten?" But anyway, I'm a coffee drinker, and so I want my cup of coffee in the morning, and so I called my wife, and she said, "Well, if you look, it's right there in the refrigerator. It lasts longer if you keep it in the refrigerator." And I looked, and I couldn't find it. And when she came home, she opened the door. Oh, how embarrassing. She moves one thing and pulls the coffee right out. Right there it is. Man, oh, man. Well, I use that to illustrate the fact that the shadow of the Almighty is a secret place. Many don't know where to look, because they're not saved, and Satan has blinded their minds. A lot of people, it just doesn't compute when you talk about the comfort of the Lord. They say, "Well, we can't see Him." Now, what do you mean, the comfort of the Lord? But I'm here to tell you, and I bet you there's many testimonies here, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, there's been many times where the Lord has comforted me, and sometimes it's comfort from the Scripture, and sometimes it is the peace of God, knowing that God is sovereign, and though I don't understand, and a lot of times I don't understand the things that people are going through or the things that I'm going through, but you know, I do have this. I do trust the Lord. I do trust the Lord, and there's comfort in knowing that God knows all things and God wants the best for me, His child. Now, I don't understand all those things, but then I've also lived long enough to see how sometimes something looks like it's really a mess, and it was really a mess, but Romans 8:28 came true, and we know that all things, what? Work together for good to them that love the Lord, and to them who are called according to His purpose. And so, you know where to look, but Satan blinds the minds of unbelievers. And some of the times that people are going through today, even with the flood, I don't know how some people are going to make it without the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad that I am saved. Many are looking for peace, for comfort, for protection, but they're looking in the wrong places. I've had to deal with people throughout the years who are looking for the wrong places, and they get themselves involved in all kinds of things that are no remedy at all. Basically, in the long run, it just makes things worse. It just compounds things. They're trying to find security. They're trying to find peace in the things of the world. Their mental focus is on earthly things. And yet they have blind hearts. And they can't really get the peace and the comfort that we as believers can. They need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So in other words, if you want to be under the shadow of the Almighty, the first thing that you need to do is come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Secondly, those that dwell in the secret place, they are the Father's children. Now, this is going way back many, many years. When my kids were little, they didn't like thunderstorms. And I think many kids are that way. And if they were in bed and the lightning began to flash and the thunder began to roll, a little frightened voice would often plead, "Daddy, Mommy, can I sleep with you?" I wasn't much for that. I remember many, many years ago when Steve, he'd hate this, but anyway, I can remember when Steve was about five, because oftentimes Linda and I would go in, we'd talk with them, we'd try and comfort them, and so on, and sometimes I'd sleep on the floor by them. But when Steve was five or so, he came into the room during a thunderstorm, and I put my arm around him, and he said, "We're not afraid now, are we, Daddy?" I remember that to this day. "We're not afraid now, are we, Daddy?" You know, even though this might sometimes aggravate us, and it did, even though sometimes this might aggravate us when our kids behave in this way, it reveals a truth that we sometimes forget. Children experience a definite sense of security when they are close to their father or close to their mother. Be it our earthly father or their earthly mother, James 4:8 says, "Draw nigh to God and He will" what? "Draw nigh to you." I'm not so proud as to say that there haven't been some times in my life where I've been afraid. And I've been glad that I had the God the Father to call upon and to ask His wisdom and to plead for His help and to cry out to Him. And so, you know, the Father's children are the ones that can dwell in the secret place, just like in those incidences the kids could come into our bedroom. And also I should note that they are the Father's obedient children. You know, God's abiding presence is reserved for His children, but not all of His children experience the abiding presence of God because not all of them are dwelling as they should. The word "dwell" is the Hebrew word that means to sit down, to settle, to remain, to abide as a permanent resident. You know, I just want to tell you that if you're a believer and you're out running with the world's crowd and you're going the world's way, you're not under the protection of the Father. God's not under obligation. When you get out from under His umbrella of protection, God is not under obligation to protect you. Sometimes He does, but He's not under the obligation to, because you now no longer are a dweller. You're wandering in the world. You're wandering on the Broadway that leads to destruction, and destruction can swallow you up. So I just think of, and I pointed that from time to time, Demas. Demas had been used of the Lord, but Demas has mentioned how that he was ministering, but then in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9 and 10, Paul laments that Demas had forsaken him because he loved the present world, and he was off to Thessalonica. You know, he left without warning. Demas forsook God's work for the world's attraction. And the world came first for Demas. I call Demas a transient Christian. A transient Christian. They want the privileges of the steadfast Christians, but they don't want to pay the price. They want the benefits. They want the privileges. And you know, sometimes kids are like that, you know. Why can't I have all these privileges? Well, there's responsibilities that come along with privileges. Amen? I mean, it's true. It's true. When a transient Christian runs into a storm, they often find that their life is a shipwreck. And then they blame God. And it wasn't God who left. They're the ones that left. You know, God's exactly where they left him. So, a steadfast Christian is a dweller, a believer who's settled down. Not that he's perfect, not that he's sinless. Christians aren't perfect, Christians aren't sinless, but Christians who are seeking to live for the Lord do sin less. And so, resolve to be a steadfast Christian, resolve to be a dweller, a believer who settles down permanently and remains in the realm of the Lord. That's what the injunction is in 1 Corinthians 15, around 57, 58 there. It says something like, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding, and the rest of it there. I can't remember the rest of it right now, but there are benefits for being a dweller, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. Finally, the benefits of living under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, the dwellers have a refuge. Psalm 91, verse 2. Turn with me to Psalm 91, verse 2. Again, the one that we've been looking at, it says, I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. He is my refuge. A refuge is a place of protection in the time of storm. When I was living at home, we had a special place in the basement that we would run to in the event of a tornado. That was our little place of refuge. When I was even younger than that, there was a barn on our property that we owned, and sometimes neighbor kids weren't very nice, but I had a place of refuge. It was under the barn, under the crawl space in the barn, and I'd made a nice list there. My wife would have been very claustrophobic. She didn't like it, but then I was the one who was a spelunker later on in life. The little tight places didn't bother me. But anyway, it was a place of refuge. I could run there and I could be protected for number one. And it was dark and none of the other neighbor kids would come in. I remember one time them looking in there and yelling at, where are you? Where are you? We're going to get you. Well, I just laughed because I was way back in the corner there and I knew they were chicken. They weren't going to come and get me there. So, a place of refuge. He is my refuge. A place of protection when the storms of life come. For those who are dwellers, God is your shelter in the stormy times of life. We're in Psalms right now. You can hold your finger here if you want and turn back to Psalm 61, verse 1 through 3. Psalm 61, 1 through 3 says, it's written by David. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. For the end of the earth, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me, and a strong tower from the enemy. Man, those are great words. Those are encouraging words. I want you to flip with me to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26. Just over a book, but you can hold your finger still in Psalm 91. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. It says this, "The fear of the Lord, in the fear of the Lord is strong comfort, and his children shall have a place of refuge." Well, dwellers don't only have a place of refuge, but they have a strong fortress. Fortress means a defensive stronghold used in a time of battle. I'd only seen pictures of it before, but this past time when my wife and I and Pastor Darrow and a number of people from the church, we went to Masada. And Pastor, wasn't Masada built by Herod the Great? It was built by one of the Herods, wasn't it? Or don't you remember? Herod the Great? Okay, Jim, it was Herod the Great. But I talk about a fortress. Now that was a fortress. If I've ever seen a fortress, that was a fortress. Number one, we had to take a cable car up to this place. Or you could have walked. There was kind of a path up there. A two-hour walk up that you could have gotten. And I can just know that the Romans had a very, very difficult time. The Romans eventually did breach Masada, but it took them thousands of slave laborers to build this big ramp to get up this, but it's way, way up at the top. It's reinforced, and it had all kinds of stores in place there. There was a palace at the time, and I just think of that fortress way up there. You look out over the top of that, and you look out into the Dead Sea, and you see that area, but God's an even stronger fortress than Masada, but I understand a little better what a fortress is. It's a defensive stronghold. But God is a fortress that cannot be breached. Dwellers have an intimate relationship with God, and we have a defensive stronghold in our Lord Jesus Christ. He is my God. And dwellers can put their full trust in him and are urged to do so in Psalm 91, verse 2. In him will I trust. Our God is trustworthy, friends. And regardless of what the storms of life are that you may be facing, I would urge you to put your trust in the Lord. I would urge you to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, so you can dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. The Lord's my rock, in him I hide. He's a shelter in the what? Time of storm. Let's pray.